Mishnah Yomis for Wednesday, the 15th day of Tevis, Tavshin Pei Dalad. We're going to start a new Masechta Ksubas. And Masechta Ksubas, as an introduction, talks about the Ksuba. What is the Ksuba? It's basically a document of obligation, which a husband has to provide for a wife when they get married. It has all the obligations that a husband has towards a wife, but the main part of the ksuba is the obligation of the husband to pay a wife upon his death or upon a divorce a certain amount of money. The amount of money will depend upon whether she's a virgin, a basula, or whether she's been married before. If she is a virgin, a basula, first-time marriage, it's 200 dinar. But if she's been married before, it's 100 dinar. That's the amount, the basic amount of the ksuba. Of course, it can be more if he adds more. Of course, whatever the husband adds more to it is called the tosefes ksuba. In addition to this amount of the ksuba that is written, there are also written any assets that the woman brings in into the marriage, the dowry, the nadunya, and also what the husband adds to the nadunya as well, to the dowry. When we say getting the ksuba, generally speaking, we mean the money of the ksuba. Is the ksuba min ha-Torah or is min ha-Rabbanan? Whilst there is a dispute about this, the accepted opinion is that it is min ha-Rabbanan. But it's very strict, and the Rambam Paskins, based on the Gemara, that a husband's not allowed to live with a wife and will stay with a wife even for one moment without a ksuba. We're going to learn in this Masechta all different types of obligations and what the ksuba covers, what entitlements there are, who gets the ksuba, who doesn't. And our first Mishnah is going to talk about when the marriages of a basula or an almona normally took place. In the old days, when a man wanted to marry someone, or marry a woman, he would mekaddish her first in front of witnesses, do the kiddushin, giving her money or provide a document. She would then become his eishes ish, but she would be staying in her father's house. Often 12 months would ensue before he would actually take her into a chuppah and bring her and make her what we call not just a rusa, but also nesua, marriage. Fully married. Although, at the time of Kiddushin, she's already called an Eishes Ish. She is absolutely forbidden to marry or to go with any other man. If she does, that would be adultery, and if we were witnesses and a court, it would be punishable by Mrs. Beis Din, by death. So it's a very serious commitment once the Kiddushin was made. Nowadays, of course, we do Kiddushin and Nisoin at the same time. So, our Mishnah is going to tell us that the Chachamim established the times of marriage for a basula, for a virgin, on one day, on a particular day, a day that the Beis Din would be sitting, a day before the day the Beis Din would be sitting. And this was in order that the husband, if he had any, discovered that she was already, had committed adultery, then he would be able to bring her to court and make his claim that she's not entitled to ksuba and that she's forbidden to him, basically, as the halacha, if she has had an affair with another man in between the erusin and the nesuin. Says the Mishnah, Masechet Ksubas, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Besula nises liyom harvi'i, v'almona liyom hachamishi. A virgin is married on the first, on the Wednesday, and almona, a widow, on the Thursday. Now, before we talk about the virgin, the basula, being married on the Revi, on the Wednesday, let's explain first why the widow would be married on a Thursday. Married on a Thursday, that was to ensure that although she's been married before, we want to ensure that the husband gives her the right amount of time, he's happy with her, at least for 3 days. And by marrying her on a Thursday, there'd be more of a chance that he would devote more energy to her by celebrating his marriage to her for Thursday and the Friday and then the Shabbos as well, and that would leave him free to go to work already on the Sunday. Had he married her any other day of the week, he might be tempted to cut the celebrations short and go to do work. But Thursday is already at the end of the week. It's a day before Erev Shabbos, and therefore they established it for Yom HaChamishi. Now, going back to the first statement, why would a besula, a woman who's being married for the first time ever, why would she be married on the Wednesday? Says the Mishnah, Shepamayim b'Shabbos, because twice a week, Bote Dinin Yoshvin Bayoris, the Beis Din would be sitting in court in the cities, B'Yom HaSheni U'Yom HaChamishi, on a Monday and on a Thursday. And this was established already thousands of years ago by Ezra. She'im hoyoloi tanis besulim, and the reason for that day was so that if the husband would have a claim that he found that his wife the night before was not a virgin, was not a besula, hoyomashkim alavestin, he would get up quickly to basin on Thursday while he's still angry, while he's still all excited about this, or not excited, but very upset about it, and make his claim in basin. And if there would be, any other day, if there would be, let's say, a Tuesday or a Monday, where there'd be several days still to go till the Beis Din sits on the Thursday, we are worried, the Chacham will be worried that he might calm down from his anger and be reconciled with his wife, and he could be living with a woman that has committed adultery and is forbidden for the rest of his life. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara asks, well, why shouldn't she marry on a Monday? Monday's also a day before Beis Din sits. I beg your pardon, marry on a Sunday. Because they used to sit, Basin used to sit on a Monday and a Thursday. So if he lived with her if he married her on a Sunday night, on a Sunday, then that would also be a good time, enough time for him to quickly go the next day to Basin, should there be the need for it. And the Gemara answers that's because they thought the Chachamim wanted to protect the dignity of the Jewish girls, and they wanted the husband to be able to be occupied in preparing the chasna at least 3 days in advance, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday he'd marry her. If he'd marry her on the Sunday, then they wouldn't have this preparatory period. There wouldn't be this fuss that he would make over the marriage as much as it would be as he marrying her on a Wednesday. Mishnah Beis. Our Mishnah talks here is going to talk about the main ksuba. As we said before, the main obligation of the ksuba is the obligation of the husband to pay a certain amount of money upon divorce or upon his death. Besula ksubasa masayim. A besula, girl who's been married for the first time, her ksuba, the amount of her ksuba, is at least a basic minimum of 200 zuz, or 200 dinarim. Some say it means 200 dinarim of pure silver, which is equivalent to 50 sella of the Torah. The almana, what about a widow who gets married? And that also covers a grusha, a woman who is a divorcee would have the same law. Mona, she only gets 100 dinar for the ksuba. Besula almana, grusha v'chalutza min ha'erusin. If a besula, didn't live with a husband yet, she's still a virgin, but she became a widow, husband died tragically, or she was divorced. They had kiddushin, but they divorced before they got to nisun. Or she was a chalutza, her brother-in-law, the brother of her deceased husband, who had no children, decided not to marry her, but give a chalutza. And so she's a chalutza, min ha'erusin. That means that she never had her orus died. The one who gave a kiddushin died without children, and the brother-in-law gave a chalitza. She's still a basula. Ksubasan masayim. When any of these basulas get married, they will still retain masayim. They will still get their 200 dinar because they are still basulas. So they're still called virgins, even though they've been married before, but they've only had kiddushin until now. V'yesh lahen tanis basulim. And if the second husband has a claim and can have a claim against them, if he finds that they're not a basula when he marries them, and they will lose their ksuba. Hagiyoris v'hashvuya v'hashivcha sheniftu. If you have a if the man is marrying a woman who's converted to Judaism, or she's been hostage and she's been freed, or she's a shivcha, she's a non-Jewish maidservant that's been redeemed, sheniftu, v'shenisgairu, or they became Jewish, v'shenishtachru, or they become freed. So in all these cases, pechusos mibnois sholosh shanim v'yamechad, if they were younger than three when they were redeemed or became Jewish or freed, in each case, then we say ksubosim mosaim. They will retain their ksuba of 200 dinar. And that is because even if they were raped at that age, below 3 years, even if that happened, the rapist does not change them, change their status as a basula. They're too young to be called a ba'ula. They would still retain their status as a basula, and therefore they get their 200 dinar. The yeshlahan tanis basulim. And furthermore, husbands can have the claim of saying, well, if he finds that they're not a basula, he can claim that he was cheated. He thought he was marrying a basula and she's really a ba'ula, and they will lose the ksuba, as we said earlier on.